To the book of Proverbs. That's where we're going to be today. When I open up my Bible, I can say where I think we're going to be in Proverbs 14. But let's get on over there.
Yeah.
No, not 14 at all. It was Proverbs 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Proverbs 4, 18 and 19. That's going to be our diving board as we get into our text, and that's the verse that I'm going to be using. All right. A van driver. He was a huge Seahawks fan. Now, if you know anything about Seahawks fans and divisions, right, you know that teams that play within their divisions, they're not friends, okay? So you may be a Seahawks fan, you may not be, but just to let you in on a little secret, 49ers fans and Seahawks fans, they're not friends, okay? Let that cat out of the bag there. A van driver, he was a huge Seahawks fan. He used to amuse himself by scaring every 49ers fan he would see strutting down the side of the road in their vomit-worthy colors. Blech. He would swerve as if to hit them, and then he would swerve back on the road. Well, one day, as he was driving the van along, he saw a pastor hitchhiking. Well, he thought, I'm going to do a good deed. So he pulls over and he says, "Hey, pastor, where are you going?" And, "I'm going to preach a message at Jesus, only Jesus, Baptist Church, about 2 miles down the road," replied the preacher. "No problem, pastor. I'll give you a lift. Climb in." The happy pastor climbed into the passenger seat and the van continued down the road. Suddenly, the driver saw a 49ers fan walking down the road, and instinctively he swerved over as if to hit him. But just in time, he remembered the pastor's in the passenger seat. So at the last minute, he swerved back on the road and narrowly missing the wretched fan. However, even though he was certain he missed the numbskull, he still heard a loud thud. Not understanding where the noise came from, he glanced in his mirrors as he's driving. He didn't see anything. He turned to the preacher and he says, "Pastor, I'm sorry. I almost hit that 49ers fan." "That's okay," replied the pastor. "I got him with the door." We know how rivalries can be brutal. That's the idea of that story. Rivalries can be brutal. And when I think of the best rivalries ever, I go to superheroes. Yes. Thank you, Bro John. There we go. I think of superheroes when I consider the best rivalries out there. Batman and Joker. We know that one, right? If I said Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you guys would say? Shredder. Superman and the Green Goblin. We grew up with these rivalries. Spider-Man and the Green Goblin. Superman and Lex Luthor. If you're a soccer fan, Real Madrid and Barcelona. I didn't know those ones, but you got to include everybody nowadays. Seahawks and 49ers, rivalries. Sonic and Dr. Robotnik. Mario and Bowser. Angry Birds and Piggies, if you've ever played Angry Birds on your phone. Our text this evening has a night and day comparison, okay? And I want to spend some time breaking this idea down of these rivalries. Okay? Our text reminds us of the biggest rivalry in human history, light versus darkness. Proverbs 4:18 through 19 is where we're going to be. I trust you're there. Proverbs 4:18 through 19. The Bible says, But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Let's pray. Pray with me. Jesus Christ, as I bring this message, Father, I pray that it would elevate you, God, and it would elevate your path for our lives. I pray, Father, that you would use me and you would use this message for your honor and glory, God, that we would esteem you more than when we came in, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The way of the wicked is as darkness, for they know not at what they stumble. For most of us this evening, we know the benefits of walking in the light. We know the benefits of being the light, allowing the light to shine in our lives. We've heard this idea over and over and over. I'm talking to a Sunday night crowd, right? We have been in church. We have been faithful. I am talking to the faithful, right? We've heard these ideas. Honestly, we need to hear it as often as possible. But tonight I want to give a quick warning as to what happens when we stop. Stop what? Stop walking in the light. Stop being the light. Stop allowing the light to shine in our lives. We know what happens. We can go to the Word and say, well, they stopped going to church. They stopped doing this. They stopped doing that. But there's an idea I want to break down for us. Light travels at a constant finite speed of 186,000 miles per second. My brain can't even do that. I'm not saying travel, but my brain can't even really understand how fast that is. To put it into perspective, okay, I have no the speed of light, that's just crazy. But if you had a traveler and they were moving at the speed of light around the equator, which is right around the Earth, approximately they would be able to go around the world 7.5 times in 1 second at the speed of light. My brain is still like, what? It doesn't make sense how fast the speed of light is to me. But by comparison, a traveler in a jet aircraft moving at ground speed of 500 miles an hour, that's how fast they go, they can travel across the U.S. in 4 hours. Just to give some type of context. Darkness, though, light versus darkness, the greatest rivalry we've ever seen. Darkness travels at the speed of light. More accurately, darkness does not exist by itself as a unique physical entity, but it is simply the absence of light. Darkness is the absence of light. Anytime you block out most of the light, for instance, if you cup your hand, you're blocking out most of that light, you get darkness. In the context of talking about speeds, darkness is what you get after the light stops coming in and therefore travels at the speed of light. Okay? So you may know where I'm heading. Jesus is the light. Satan is the darkness. I don't think I have to really spell that out, but I want that to be clear as I'm referring to the light of our lives, the light in our lives. That is Jesus Christ. The darkness are all of the wiles of the devil. All of the things that, you know, even as we quench the spirit, we can still walk in darkness, right? You can still be a child of God, a child of the light, and walking in darkness. It's still an option that you have. Okay, let's talk about this idea. Darkness travels at the speed of light, just as fast as the light travels. How fast does it take a person to backslide? Not very fast. I've seen it happen pretty quickly. How fast can we end up in a bad spot on our cell phone? How fast can our temper undo all the effort we have put towards being patient? I have kids. I can undo my kiddo's good behavior with a harsh response. My kid could go from having a good day to a bad day if I deal with them harshly. One drink for an alcoholic, that could set them back months. Darkness moves just as fast as light. One cigarette, one piece of chocolate if you're dieting. Right? If you're dieting, you're like, oh, just one piece of chocolate. I've been coming off a diet one time, and I had one sweet, I can't even remember, and I think I ended up eating like five things out of the cupboard. And I'm not going to go into what that all looked like, but it was awesome. But it wasn't according to my diet, all right? Okay, on the flip side, how fast does the Holy Spirit of God work? Okay, we can tell how quickly darkness can move into our lives, how quickly we can get into darkness, but how fast does light move? How fast does the Holy Spirit of God work in our lives? I want us to think about this thought. Sometimes it takes us years to give up an addiction. Sometimes it takes us years to give up a bad habit. God changes our desires overnight. God can do a work. Right? I remember one time when I gave up drinking. I was sitting there and I was getting drunk on December 3rd. And I'm like, man, this is just what I've always done. And I said, I finally realized because I set out to have just a couple, okay? Couple beers, that's what I set out to have. Next thing you know, just like always, I was getting drunk again because I had no control over it. And I finally made a decision, and I finally was honest with myself, and I said, I have no control over you. And I said, I will never drink again because you're going to destroy my life. And from that day forward, I never drank again. 15 years ago. Yeah, praise God. Amen. Sometimes God can change our lives just like that. Okay? I wish that was the case with my patients. I wish I was just a full vessel of patience. Wish I had victory in other areas. But the speed of light is pretty fast, but also the speed of light can move pretty slow. The speed of God's work in our lives. How fast is Jesus able to make changes in our lives? These are just some of the things on a Sunday night we're going to think about. How fast, when Jesus brings something up, how fast is it? Am I able to submit to the Lord? What is the speed of light in your heart? That's a good question. God can only work as fast as you let him. And remember, the darkness is ready to move in just as fast as you kicked it out. I'm going to go to Matthew 12:43. Gives us a great idea. Matthew 12:43. The Bible says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. This is the unclean spirit. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Have you ever seen a person get out of prison and end up or becoming worse than they were when they were in prison? You ever see somebody give up drugs or give up something, but then they end up worse than they started? And that's because this idea, when we give up something, when we, like this is saying, the unclean spirit leaves the man, but if you don't put something back in, then that demon is going to bring seven more unclean spirits in. It's the idea that if you're going to kick darkness out of your life, you better put something in it to fill that void, or here comes trouble. We have all had to overcome some sort of addiction. We've had to overcome abuse, temptations, wandering thoughts, depression, suicidal thoughts, judgmental thoughts, the sin of comparison maybe, the sin of doing nothing, the sin of doing the wrong thing. We've all had to we've all had to figure that out. Those past victories, they're only victories in the moment. You can lose that battle the next day. You can lose that same battle that you had a victory over. Be ready to battle them. Be ready to keep that darkness out and fill it with something good. Fill it with Bible reading, prayer. There are three enemies which cannot wait to destroy you. Lust, pride, and greed. What are the three things Jesus told us to do in secret? He told us to give, he told us to pray, and he told us to fast. Three things. So if we get a hold of this here, this is going to be powerful. Giving defeats greed. If you give, your possessions will not have a hold over you. If prayer defeats pride. Because the real reason we don't pray is because we're proud. Prayerlessness is pride. Simple as that. Fasting defeats lust because it subjects your body and your appetites to God's principles. So Jesus tells us to do these things in secret. Pray in secret, fast in secret, and give in secret. That's what Jesus tells us to do. Nobody's going to know about them. The Apostle John, he comes in and says, you have three enemies, a deadly trio of demons. That is lust, that is pride, and that is greed. And if you do these things in secret, fasting, giving, and praying, you will not live in secret. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We need to look to the light more and more as Christians. As the days go dark, we need to look towards the light more and more, just like our verse is encouraging us. Just as a reminder, but the path of the just is as a shining light, and it shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Do not take your eyes off the path. Skiers have this idea down. If you've ever skied, you understand, okay? You ask, why? How can skiers just make their way through all these trees and they can just zip through? Well, because when you're a skier, you understand that if you're saying, don't hit a tree, don't hit a tree, don't hit a tree, all you're looking at are the trees. Skiers understand when you're going through the trees, you need to look to the snow, look at the snow, look at the snow, look at the path, right? You don't look at the trees. If you look at the trees, you're going to hit the tree. You got to look at the path. So the only thing, if you're following the snow and you're following the path, the only thing is you see it is the path. See, skiers know that once you do that, the trees just seem to disappear. You find your straight way. I don't know if anybody has skied here, but snowboarding, I tried it. That didn't work for me. I just looked at the trees, and I found them, just so you know. I'm not good. But it was fun, I guess. If you focus, just like our spiritual walk, though, that's the point. And this is true for our spiritual walk, that if you all you're doing is looking at the obstacles, then all you're going to do is see the obstacles, and you're going to obsess over those. If you focus on the path, then you're going to see the path through the trees. So again, this idea is look towards the light and stop looking into the darkness or towards the darkness, right? You ever find a mold on a brick of cheese? Oh, yeah. You just cut it off and eat the cheese, right? Most of us do, right? It could be risky for some people to cut that off, and I wouldn't doubt anybody that's like, if it's moldy, it's gone, right? I wouldn't doubt anybody. Somebody's immune system can be different. But some people can, just like some people can go to a store, right? The idea is cutting the mold off is to get rid of that bad stuff, right? Get rid of the darkness on the brick of cheese, which is the mold. Some people can go to a store. They can walk up and down the store aisles. It's not going to faze them. They can buy a soda. They can walk out. Other people walk into the store, and all they're thinking about is, I want to go grab a beer. I want to go get some smokes. I want to go do this. It's a temptation even walk into a store. I know of a guy here who passed by the store. One day he went in and he got himself a six-pack. And from every day after that, he went to that store and he got a six-pack. He's no longer in church today because of that. He wasn't able to shake that, right? Just like that was me. I couldn't go into a store and not think about alcohol. Absolutely not. If you know you have temptations towards something, don't go around it, right? Throw the block of cheese out. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep walking towards the light and shineth more and more until the perfect day. Stay in church. Stay in your Bible reading. Continue to give. Continue to pray. And if you're not fasting, right? Remember, that those are the solutions to those three demons that want to destroy us. Maybe fast until you read your Bible. This is what the Lord was speaking to me about. Maybe fast until you read your Bible, guy. Maybe you don't feed your body until you feed the Spirit. That'd be a good incentive to read God's Word. Well, I can't even eat until I read my Bible. Well, that's not fair. Well, it's because I want to fast. Don't eat until you pray. That's a good incentive to wake up in the morning and pray if you don't find yourself being able to. Don't eat until you have given the Lord what He wants from you, what He wants you to give. Just an idea on how to incorporate fasting into your spiritual life. I had this conversation, me and Brother Jerry, this morning. We were talking about fasting. And man, I am just like, it's like the American curse. It's like fasting is one of those things where it's like, Lord, tell me to do anything except for give up a meal. Right? I'm an American. And I just eat. And God, there's something special about fasting that He brings up. And it's something that, honestly, I haven't taken too serious. And so, you know, that's something that me and God need to do business with. And sure, I do this thing, it's called intermittent fasting, to where you have an eating window, okay? And I don't want to dwell on this, but it's not a spiritual fast. That's what I'm trying to say, is I may fast, but it's not for the Lord. It's for a physiological gain, right? So anyway, I think that there's a real gem there if that Christians would be able to connect to the Lord with fasting again. That's why He tells us to. Fasting breaks the connection of lust. Give to God what God wants you to give. God has given you those gifts so that you can share the love and spread the light. This idea of gifts, okay? Now, this is confusing. When I learned it, I got this from somebody, but it's a great idea. An apple tree doesn't eat apples. Well, no kidding. A pear tree doesn't eat pears. Pear trees and apple trees, all they need is water, okay? The fruit is for us. The fruit is for bystanders, okay? Now, let's pretend that we're a tree, okay? The fruit isn't for us. The fruit is for others. So as we bear fruit, as God works in our lives and we bear fruit, just like a tree would, okay? We have to remember the fruit is for people that pass by us, just like our gifts. Our gifts are not for us, okay? What God has given me, what God has blessed me with, is not for me, it's for my church. It's what I use to bless others with. Okay? That's how God works. He gives you your gifts so that you can give them to other people. It's not for us. It's not for our glory. It's for God. Okay. This has probably happened. I know it's happened to me. You can be depressed. You can be depressed at home. And you can be on the phone giving other people advice. And the advice that you're given is life-changing. I mean, the Lord is just working in your life. You're like, yeah, brother, all you got to do is let go and let God. And all of a sudden, you can be depressed giving people this amazing advice. And you hang up the phone and you're like, man,
Why haven't I told myself that? That was good. I need to take my own advice. Your gift of encouragement is for other people, not for you. Wisdom is for you, so that you can be wise in when to give your gifts to others. God grants us wisdom when we walk in the light. John 1:5 says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The darkness doesn't understand why we are light, why we are joy, why we are love, why we are patience, why we are kindness, why we are meek. None of that. God does. I've got two more verses to point up and we're done. But I want you to look at these situations here in the Word, and these situations in the Bible when men are exposed to the magnificent, the glorious, perfect, all-amazing, mega-fantastic, and super-incredible light of God. The first verse I want you to see is Exodus 34, 28 through 30. Please turn there with me. These are the last two verses of this message. When I came across this in my Bible reading, I'm like, I need this. I need to study this, and there's more. Exodus 34, I couldn't believe this. Exodus 34, 28. Exodus 34, 28 says, "And he was there," talking about Moses, "and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him." That's one example of what Moses looked like when he was face to face with God. His face shone with light. Could you imagine the light beaming off of your face because of the light of God is shining out of you? There's one more occurrence where somebody's skin just became pure and just shone. That's in Luke 9, 28. Let's go there. This is our last verse. Luke 9, 29. This idea that when you're exposed to the light of God, you can be, you're just lit up, I guess. Luke 9, this whole thing was so fascinating to me. Luke 9, 28 through 29, the Mount of Transfiguration. "And it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked..." Wait, that was it? That was it right there. "His countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening." Oh, and the fashion of his countenance. Here's another example of Jesus here being in the presence of God, and his skin is changed, and his skin is shining. When you're exposed to the light of God, you glow like crazy. Now, not like Moses, to where people are going to be afraid of you, but you have a glow. There's something to you when you are shining like the Bible wants you to. Allow your light to shine, allow the light of the Lord to shine from within you. And let's be reminded, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And it almost makes me want to say, and it shineth more and more and more and more. We become brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter when we're walking the path that we ought to walk. So as we close today, we can we don't need an invitation time. I feel like we can take a moment and we can have an invitation. Sorry, we can play a quick song, and that will give us time to respond. That'll give us time to at least consider some of the things that God might have put on your heart. Sorry, I changed my mind there for a second. And so as the music plays, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And just pray as God will lead you.